Welcome to the Queen City Preachers Podcast. I'm Pastor Andrew.
And I'm Pastor Molly.
And we're here at Messiah Lutheran Church in Marquette, Michigan on this spring day. It's supposed to get to 65 here today. It's surreal. This is April.
What a gift of God's grace.
I know. 3 years ago, we were getting about 3 feet of snow this week. So, man.
Well, you
amazing.
Know what? Not sad about the nice weather.
No, not very sad about the nice weather either. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, it feels very resurrection-y. You know, spring actually feels like it's here. The trout lilies in my backyard are starting to think about coming up.
Ooh.
Or poking. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of fitting with, Easter season.
Yeah.
That we're feeling a little more springy than normal here. So.
And we really need that resurrection this year, I think. You know, it's been a lot of winter.
It's been a lot of winter, even though it hasn't been like winter in the classic snowy cold. It's been winter in the sense of isolation, not feeling the warmth of community in the same ways. It's been hard.
It's been winter in our hearts.
Oh boy. All right, we'll unpack that later. So out of the wintry hearts, the tomb gets opened and out comes Jesus. We dive into the classic after Easter text of doubting Thomas. This is the continuation of the story in John. So last week, just a reminder, the alternative text for our lectionary cycle was John 20:1 to 18. That's kind of the normal every year Easter text. The other text we used was Mark 16, 1 to 8. Is that right?
Something like that. I don't remember.
Yeah.
It's definitely 16.
Yeah. So end of Mark. But this is the text for this coming Sunday is picking up off of the John text. So it's John 19 to 31. I mean, John chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. Mm-hmm. So it's picking up after we've had this whole run to the tomb, run back home, Mary wondering what's going on, Mary mm-hmm. thinking Jesus is the gardener, then the gardener, Jesus telling Mary, no, it's me, and ending kind of in returning to share the good news.
Yeah, but remembering, too, that the disciples come to the tomb and see that it's empty, and then they leave.
Yeah, right? Those guys, they just
and
they take off.
And then Jesus appears to Mary and gives
Mary at this point.
Mm-hmm. So the disciples haven't actually seen Jesus yet, and they still aren't, they're not, I don't know, they somehow, there's some communication there, right? Like, I don't know if like Mary didn't go and tell them yet or what, but anyway, do you see what I'm saying?
Totally.
Okay.
Yeah. So we definitely have some interesting things going on with who knows what, how, when, what's mm-hmm. going on with feelings, emotions, processing, questions about gender roles, questions about like you
right.
can play
or
with some really
they,
interesting
yeah,
things.
Yeah, or
here.
Maybe they just didn't believe Mary. But there's no scene where Mary comes to the disciples and tells them that
correct.
Jesus has come. So it's kind of ambiguous here is what I'm trying to say about are they surprised to see Jesus? Like obviously they're scared, right? Because they're locked away. But let's just read it and let's dive
into this text.
Okay,
yeah.
So verse 19. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails on his finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name.
All right.
This is a great text. There's just
it's an awesome text. So much going on in here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And it's got fun little Easter eggs in it, too, which I'm sure we'll discuss.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, too, that this is a text that for many of us, we're very used to. We're familiar mm-hmm. with. I mean, you know, Doubting Thomas. There's a great Nickel Creek song about that. By the way, Doubting Thomas, look it up. Listen to it.
Didn't you sing that last year?
I don't know if I said. Yeah, maybe.
You did.
Did I? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I remember it.
It's beautiful. But I think like playing with this text and looking at it is that we often shifted gears to thinking about this story as about Thomas. Mm-hmm. And I think the starting point for me today, I want us to think about how this passage ends, which is that Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so you may. Okay, so what that points to is that what Jesus is doing in here, according to John, is that this is a sign that the revealing to Thomas, the revealing to the disciples, that what's going on here is bigger than them. Mm-hmm. So I just want to open with that because I think it's important for us to say, okay, what's going on today with individual characters? Mm-hmm. But also John is trying to say there's something bigger here than just these characters.
I see what you mean. The point is not them. The point is you. You, the reader, right?
You, the reader, and who Jesus is, mm-hmm. right? It's pointing to Jesus, but also saying, where are you in this as a disciple in some ways?
Yeah, it's asking for us to become a part of the story too.
I think John does that a lot. Mm-hmm. John invites us in. Mm-hmm. I think Mark does too, more so than Matthew and Luke in some ways. But but John really does. John invites us into that story, into that mystery, into that community.
And that's something I always like, and I like for us to look for too. How is God's story our story?
Yeah,
because these aren't just static characters that exist in a specific time and place. While they're historical, they also call us into the story and to find how this story is our story too, and how we can identify with the characters, but also kind of realizing how we too are changed by the story, right? We talk about the Gospels and how they are written for a specific time and place, but the stories always seem to transcend that time and place. To bring us in, right?
Yes, yeah. And that's really important.
That's like a pretty wild thing to think about, how something that is written 2,000 years ago can still feel so real and relevant when you pick it up today.
Yeah, and it's the power of story. I mean, my guess is that there are books that, you know, any of us pick up again and we read and we're like, wow, that's fresh, that's amazing, even though we've read it before. So it's the power of story, but it's also the power of gospel, of good news, of God's story and God's people's story, the story of all of us, that our story is woven into the story of God's people throughout time, mm-hmm. that it's not separate from that. And so, anyway, I just wanted to kind of steer us mm-hmm. into just thinking about this as a whole rather than just focusing on Thomas, because, you know, sometimes Thomas just gets, mm-hmm. we get myopic with Thomas.
Yeah, and so. Do we ever think about it in the way that what Thomas did was for us?
Right, yeah. I think often we don't. We isolate him, or we ask questions about our own doubts, mm-hmm. but we don't say, what does Thomas's actions actually mean for us? What is Thomas doing, or what is the story? Mm-hmm. What does this question, thinking about this, what does Thomas reveal to us or show us about who Jesus is,
right.
bodily, spiritually, mm-hmm. like all of that? What does Thomas actually do? Mm-hmm. And in some ways, it's pretty profound what Thomas actually does. I mean, he lays his doubt out there, mm-hmm. But his doubt is also more a desire to understand, what does this resurrected Jesus look like? Who is Jesus? Like, mm-hmm. what does this mean now?
And I like to think of it in the way, too, that, like, what is Thomas asking for from Jesus, right? He's not asking for something like wild, right? He's just asking for what others have received.
Yeah, the other disciples, that's an important piece to the story. The other disciples have already seen Jesus, mm-hmm. And experienced that, and Thomas hasn't.
Yeah.
And so
it's not unfair, right, that he's asking for this.
No. In fact, most of us have had experiences like that, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, fear of missing out, right? The notion of that we've missed an opportunity and we want back in, or we want to be connected to it.
Yeah. Thomas is really just asking, he's longing to experience the truth that the others have experienced.
Yeah.
And more importantly, Jesus isn't like, well, sorry, Thomas, if you can't just believe the story, then like, too bad, you're out of luck, right?
Yeah, yeah.
No, Jesus shows up.
And I think that's really cool that in this story, Jesus shows up in the places of our doubts, right?
Take a week, though.
It does take a week, and Jesus does kind of give, you know, a shout out, I mean, kind of to those who believe without seeing.
Right?
Right,
us. That's for us.
That's for us, really. I mean, that's John writing in some ways. But like, but Jesus shows up in our doubts, or in those places where we don't understand, or where we're traumatized to the point of not knowing how the story fits in our lives anymore, that we can't get past this, right? That Jesus enters into those spaces. I think about Rob Bell, who kind of had his heyday with Love Wins and Mars Hill Church down in Grand Rapids. But he wrote a book a long time ago called Velvet Elvis, and in it he writes about holding doubt nights at church, like where people come and they just, you know, people put their doubts in a hat. Anonymous doubts and pull them out and just kind of wrestle with them. And it wasn't about answering. It wasn't about answers, but about acknowledging where God is in the midst of that and acknowledging the safety of community, mm-hmm. and holding one another's doubts. And in that book, I don't think he actually references Doubting Thomas or this passage, but I think I think that it actually fits really well. He's talking about like Jesus and questions and how
Seems like a real missed opportunity.
I know, but you know, he wrestles with like that Jesus responds to questions with questions. How does he deal with mm-hmm. our own questions and our own doubts? But I think that like with this passage, Jesus shows up into it. Like mm-hmm. he basically says, you're not alone in this. I'm not going to leave you hanging.
No.
Right? I'm going to show up in the place where you are wondering, where you are questioning, where you are,
yeah.
where you are fearful and anxious. And by the way, I'm going to come into that locked room too. Already did that. Mm-hmm. You know, where you are most afraid, I am already there.
Yeah.
Right?
Where you doubt, where you fear.
Yeah.
Where you grieve, there I am too.
Yeah. And I'm going to bear in my body the marks of that pain and that grief and that death, mm-hmm. even while I show you what life looks like.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, oh, that's powerful. I like that a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And to like recognizing that that's what the disciples needed at the time. And I you know, it's kind of hard to think like it's always hard for me to be like, yes, Jesus is showing up for you again and again. And it's hard because maybe it's not the way that we expect Jesus to show up for us.
Yeah.
In our pain and doubt and suffering. Right. And so John's little phrase to me at the end, right. Blessed are you, right. Who have believed because you haven't seen, right? You have not seen, yet you have come to believe. It's kind of a reminder for us too that even if that specifically doesn't happen for us, right? Even if we don't get to see Jesus in the resurrected flesh and touch his body and all of that, right? We are still blessed because that has already happened, mm-hmm. and is continuing to happen for us, but just maybe not in the way, right? Maybe it's the week, right?
Yeah. And maybe this, I mean, I think about this tying back into my sermon on Sunday, thinking about what are we expecting of Jesus? What does salvation look like in our own lives that we've ascribed to who Jesus is? And yet, do we allow the space for Jesus to come into that? I mean, you know, in the passage before us, the gardener, who knows us, it's not us knowing who he is, it's him knowing us.
Mm-hmm.
And can we allow that space to say in this passage, right, that Jesus shows up in that way mm-hmm. for us, whether we see it or not, in the way that we think it should be,
yeah.
that Jesus is showing up and already has shown up.
And when we know Jesus in that way, does that bring forth life? Because, right, that's the purpose of this
book.
Yeah,
absolutely.
John spells it out pretty.
Yeah, he does.
Literally.
Yeah.
The purpose of this is so that through believing, you may have life in his name. And a good note, too, right? Not life eternal, just life. Right?
That is worth naming. Mm-hmm. That this is not, that John, I mean, life eternal is...
It's not a reward system.
It's not. It's that you may have life. And and life in some ways to John is life here and now and life yet to come, right? And I think that that's actually the biblical concept of eternal life too, is that it's not about what comes after. It's about connecting the promises of God to today and to see some of that fulfilled, but also to trust that God is still working in the after too, in the yeah. eternal, beyond our time.
Yeah. And so I'm wondering, how does this moment in the disciples' journey allow them to have life because of who they know Jesus to be now? Right.
Yeah.
I think about this
as
such
a great question, right?
This is such like a pivotal moment for them, right? They have not really witnessed the crucifixion, right? Because they all ran away and they were afraid, but they know that it's happening.
Right.
And they know Jesus to have died, right? All of that. And they know that they've betrayed Jesus and all of these things that they're carrying with them. And so they are locked away because they're scared that the same thing is going to happen to them that happened to Jesus, right? That they're going to be the ones who are hunted down, right? That's why they're afraid of the Jews, right? The Jewish leaders. They're afraid going to be the next persecuted ones. And
yeah,
so
they're very fearful of that.
At this moment when they're locked away, when they're afraid, when they don't know what to do next, Jesus pops in, right? You mentioned the locked doors and tells them, right? Peace be with you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So
those words of comfort or...
Just as the Father sent me, so I send you, right?
Yeah, and we get the mini Pentecost here too. The Holy mm-hmm. Spirit's given to them, right?
Receive the Holy Spirit.
Receive the Holy Spirit.
Yep. I'm breathing on you.
Yeah.
Which is still not a popular notion today, but.
Yeah. And just so you know, the Greek word here used is parakletos. So, I mean, which is.
Paraclete,
which means advocate or comforter. Mm-hmm. So sending that, mm-hmm. Which, you know, you think about, that's an extension of the peace, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what's going on here. So,
but essentially they're frozen in this moment, right? They're
totally.
They're afraid and they don't know what to do next and they're not really doing anything, right? Wouldn't call that life or life abundant.
Yeah,
being
I'd call
locked
that
away.
Yeah, I'd call it paralysis almost,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes, they're paralyzed in this moment. And so what Jesus does in showing up for them is allowing them to have life by continuing on in the mission.
And what's really interesting, I think about like tying that into today, right? For many of us, it's felt like we've been locked in our houses. I mean, that it's shifted, right? It's evolved. We've been out a little bit more mm-hmm. as more folks get vaccinated, as we continue to wear masks and be distanced. But like, I think about like, what does it mean to in that space where we still hold that fear and that anxiety and exhaustion, right? Mm-hmm. That they're bearing in some ways not the trauma of witnessing, because they weren't even there, mm-hmm. right? But they're bearing the trauma of secondhand witnessing or of knowing what happened and also the shame of not being present mm-hmm. And bearing so much and how exhausted that room must have felt like a tomb, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like I can only imagine. And thinking about today for us, what does it look like for us to witness life coming into those spaces, not to sacrifice safety, right? I mean, their fears, let's be honest, they were realistic.
Mm-hmm.
you know.
They'll continue to be, right? Some of them will get martyred, right? You know?
Absolutely. But at the same time, like, how do they allow life back into a world where they have shut it out or where they have turned it off, right? They've said, this isn't happening. We're not, you know, they've lost the sense of hope. And that Jesus cuts right into the middle of that and says, you may have locked your doors. You may have thought that you've kept yourself safe or as safe as you can
isolated,
be.
Isolated, yeah.
Isolated. And maybe this is in some ways Jesus saying safety isn't just about isolation.
Mm-hmm.
That being held in life, that if we think of safety as protecting life, then what are you protecting if you've let go of what that life actually looks like? And Jesus says, peace to you. I'm bringing my advocate to you. I'm present with you. Mm-hmm. Life is still here.
Mm-hmm.
Can you hold on to that?
Mm-hmm.
Can you see that there's more than just being in this room and locking the doors?
Yeah. And
I don't know.
What message do you need to hear from Jesus?
Yeah.
To get you living again.
Yeah. Where does Jesus call you, or where do you hear Jesus calling life into your life? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Where do you feel that Holy Spirit being breathed?
Mm-hmm.
In the witness of Thomas, right? Where do you feel, where do you witness the brokenness, God's presence in that brokenness and bearing that even in life, right? That Christ comes back with the scars of death, right? He doesn't come back perfect and put together and 100% flat, like unblemished.
Mm-hmm.
But yet that is also meaningful because life with God doesn't mean that there aren't scars and blemishes and painful pieces, but it means that God speaks through that and beyond that into life,
mm-hmm.
that life speaks louder than that.
Yeah. And how is that a reflection too of how we feel, right?
Yeah.
Right, you said the thing about the peace is the comforter, right? The advocate, this Holy Spirit advocate and comforter. And how is it comforting to know that Jesus' scars remain and we can see those scars and to know that Jesus sees our scars, you know, literal or figurative as well. And especially in the midst of our pain and grief and being locked away. Is that what we need? You know, do we need that empathy first? And then we need the message of, okay, now it's time to live again.
Yeah. That Jesus sees us in the place that we are.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus sees us how we are.
Yeah.
That Jesus accepts us in that space and holds us in that space, which ties into one of those Easter eggs in that text of like, of that translation of that line, if you retain the sins of any, they are retained, but it should be if you hold on to any or anyone. They are held.
Mm-hmm.
That's a better translation of it. And this notion of holding on to, right? That Jesus holds on to Thomas when Thomas needs him. Mm-hmm. Jesus holds on, sends the Spirit to hold on to the disciples. And then he says, now do that for others, right? Hold on to them. And it's not just like a huggy, you know, physical hold on. It's being present too.
And I think it's the twofold there too, right? Like we talked about the disciples, and something I want to explore a little bit in my sermon this Sunday too is that need for forgiveness as well.
Yeah.
Right? That the disciples were probably the most in need of forgiveness, right? Because they are betrayers and abandoners, and now they're locked away, not doing the job that they know that they're supposed to be doing.
Right? The level of guilt that they must be experiencing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so Jesus is coming and saying, you are forgiven. I'm forgiving you, but I'm going to hold on to you, right? You're not abandoned in this moment or in this mission and ministry. You know, that's exactly what they need to hear. And two, hearing that forgiveness, I think about us, right? And, you know, this past year and, you know, whatever the things that we have failed to do or have done and left undone, there's been a lot of reckoning, whether it's with, you know, race or just thinking even about time lost this past year. And maybe there were things that we think we should have been doing, but we didn't do it, right? Or, right. Like, oh my gosh, all these people, took up these great hobbies and did these awesome things and accomplished so much. And, Taylor Swift wrote 2 albums in quarantine and all I did was, bake a lot of things.
Yeah. Oh, T-Swift.
Right? I love Taylor Swift.
She puts us to shame.
Anyway, but like...
And inspires at the same time. So
thinking that when Jesus comes to us in this grief that we are experiencing right now, telling us, I see your wounds, I forgive you, for all of the things that you have done or left undone in this past year. And that is such like a healing moment.
It is.
So that we can create that life, right? And it's that reminder to us and to ourselves to give that forgiveness to ourselves as well.
And in some ways, this is exactly what Jesus does for Thomas after he's done it for the disciples, right? Mm-hmm. Is Thomas is like, I don't know that I can trust to believe because I feel bad about, the subtext to this is Thomas is kind of like, I need this because I'm feeling responsible. I'm feeling lost.
Guilty.
I'm feeling guilty. But I just need this. I need to know that he's really here. And Jesus is like, that's okay. I forgive you for that. Mm-hmm. Right? And by the way, I'm here. Mm-hmm. And thank you for those who,
you can reach out and touch.
Yeah,
like, you can
feel
touch
my hands.
The wounds. It's okay.
Yeah.
And I'm still going to come and offer you that same peace that I offered the disciples.
And
right?
then through John's lens, I'm going to remind you that peace is still here, even if you can't touch me mm-hmm. in this physical way, that it's still here because I'm doing this for you.
Yeah.
Right. And I've already done it.
And a good reminder too, in return for that, we've talked a lot about what discipleship means over the past few weeks. And Thomas is a great example of that, right? He, like Mary, proclaims who Jesus truly is in this moment, right? It's that reciprocal discipleship.
Yeah.
He says, my Lord and my God, right?
It's the naming.
It's not just an exclamation. It is a naming of who Jesus truly is, right? My God. Jesus is God. And so that is kind of that coming full circle of not, you have doubted, you have been a betrayer, you are forgiven. Here, come back to life and then go out and proclaim who Jesus truly is so that other people can experience that same thing.
And that is a sign.
Mm-hmm.
In John's gospel, that is the sign.
That's the sign. The full sign.
The full sign. Mm-hmm. It's not one little piece of this. It is the entire piece of this story.
Mm-hmm.
And that's powerful because that then translates into each of our own lives, right? Of asking, okay, mm-hmm. how do I see this? Where do I experience this forgiveness, this presence? This notion of being held,
mm-hmm.
Where do I allow the brokenness of myself to be seen by Jesus as well as myself to allow Jesus's experience to acknowledge that God knows that about me and knows that about being human, right? And can hold that. The God that holds us is the God that also has scars on God's hands,
mm-hmm.
right? That love holds all of that. And thinking about how does that fit into our lives as we emerge from our cocoons, mm-hmm. as we wrestle with isolation, as we wrestle with fear, as we see transmission numbers climb again, as we question like what does this mean in each of our own lives with the hope to be connected to family again or to community again? Where do we allow Jesus and this Holy Spirit to enter into these pieces?
Yeah. So I think a nice spiritual activity for people this week would be like, I don't know, I just feel like I get this very like much visual of Jesus. So like imagine the risen Jesus showing up for you, whatever Jesus of any specific ethnicity or background you would like to imagine.
But constant gardener Jesus,
I love gardener Jesus. So I imagine gardener Jesus showing up, but like imagine Jesus showing up for you and showing you the wounds in his hands. And then kind of as a spiritual practice, when you see the wounds in Jesus's hands, what wounds does Jesus see within you, right? And like name those things and claim those things And then what is the forgiveness that Jesus speaks to you in this moment? Mm. Like, what do you need to hear that has been burdening you from this last year that you feel like you need Jesus' forgiveness? And like, name those things as well, you know, whether it's writing about it or just speaking it out loud or thinking about it. And then once you've kind of released those things and have claimed that forgiveness, how are you now challenged and changed in a way that you go out and live differently, right? Or claim the living in the moment.
Yeah, that's a powerful exercise. Mm-hmm. And thinking too that as you do that, that when you acknowledge the forgiveness or that healing or Jesus's presence in those spaces, that as you allow yourself to let those things go, that Jesus is still holding on to you, mm-hmm. that it's not you that are being let go in any way, shape, or form. It's just those pieces mm-hmm. that are in some way holding you from seeing and being present to that love in a full way.
Yeah.
And so name that hug too. Mm-hmm. And I mean that's there on the receiving, which then I think empowers you to also mm-hmm. go forward.
Yeah, go back to that verse 23, right? And say, you know, I am the one who is forgiven, and by Jesus, and those sins are forgiven, and now I am held even more fast by Jesus.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
How is that kind of all caught up together? Right? That Thomas seeks that forgiveness and that validation and that trust in the truth of what has happened. And in that moment, he is held even closer by Jesus. And so how does accepting that forgiveness for ourselves and giving it to others bring us even closer and hold us fast? And how is that being held fast a creation of life?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. So, yeah, if you need an exercise to get you started into that process that Pastor Molly just shared, reread that verse and put yourself into it. Mm-hmm. And find a way to hear those words in a way that means something to you. They can help lead towards that life, that resurrection that I think John's gospel is trying to push us further into mm-hmm. As we hear beyond the story just of Mary outside the tomb, and now how this actually impacts our daily lives and enters into our lives, that John is pulling this further beyond that first story and into our stories mm-hmm. in this passage. So, yeah.
Well, thanks for joining us here today.
Absolutely.
Friends. We hope that if you are in our neck of the woods, you're enjoying this beautiful weather. And if you're not, you're enjoying some lovely weather elsewhere.
Absolutely. Yeah. And thanks for being present to this story. We'll continue again next week, just continuing along in John's story here. Mm-hmm. We get the Jesus fish fry Jesus, or I mean breaking bread together Jesus.
Mm. Fish fry.
Fish fry.
That's almost lunchtime. Yeah. That makes me hungry.
And so, but thanks for traveling this journey with us. Once again, you've been listening to the Queen City Preachers podcast here at Messiah Lutheran Church in Marquette, Michigan. I'm Pastor Andrew.
And I'm Pastor Molly.
Be well, friends.